Well, just three more sleeps to go. Can you believe it? Are you ready for it? I wonder, are you feeling Christmassy yet? Do you feel like you're in the Christmas spirit? Maybe you are, maybe you aren't. I must confess, this year, I'm not feeling that Christmassy just yet. Which gets me wondering, what is it that makes Christmas Christmassy? What is it that creates that Christmas spirit? I picked up this newspaper on the way home from work a couple of weeks ago, and it's got a big red advert on the outside. And on the front, it says, "The original taste of Christmas." The original taste of Christmas. That's a big claim, isn't it? To be the original, the true taste of Christmas. Now, it's an advert for Coca-Cola. And I think, is that really true? Is that really what the essence of Christmas is? Just a bottle of Coca-Cola? I'm not so sure. Alternatively, to quote potentially the greatest Christmas film ever made, which is obviously Elf, the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. It's quite a nice quote. And maybe that's true, that Christmas songs do a good job of making us feel Christmassy. They do a good job of putting us in the Christmas spirit. But is that where the essence truly lies? Is that where the heart of Christmas really is, in Christmas songs? I'm not so sure. According to the British Humanist Association, 76% of the population believe that the essence of Christmas is time spent with family. Time spent with family. Now, to be sure, that's a big part of the Christmas activities, isn't it? But that's not really unique to Christmas. We spend time with our families at other times of year. And so is that where the essence of Christmas truly lies? Is that the true meaning of Christmas? I'm not so sure. Well, what about a good old-fashioned nativity? Well, now I think we're getting a little bit warmer. Maybe it's in the story behind Christmas. Maybe that's where the essence truly lies. Well, I think we're getting warmer, but I still don't think we've quite hit the nail on the head. Because there's lots of different parts to the Christmas story, aren't there? The angels, the shepherds, the wise men, Mary and Joseph, the star, the stable, the manger. But which part of the story is the key that unlocks it all? Where is the essence of Christmas? Well, let's just take three of those characters in the story and let's see what they have to say about the heart of Christmas. Let's go to the angels, first of all. So the angels. Angels are very Christmassy, aren't they? Hark the herald. Angels sing glory to the newborn king. They've got their own Christmas carol. And growing up, we even used to put an angel, I'm fairly sure it was an angel and not a fairy, but we used to put an angel on the top of our tree. A big part of Christmas celebrations are the angels. But what part does the angel play? Are they at the heart of the Christmas story? Well, in Luke chapter 2, we read about the angels. You don't have to turn to it, but I'll just read some verses from Luke chapter 2. It says, "In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. So these shepherds, they're out in their fields. They're minding their own business. They're just doing a good hard night's work looking after their flocks. And they get this sudden fright. An angel, bright, shining, radiant, appears to them. But a simple question, why? Why? Well, why is the angel there? What purpose does the angel fulfill? The angel is simply a messenger, aren't they? They're just a messenger. The angel comes to the shepherds to deliver a message, to deliver the news that a Saviour has been born. The angels do not take center stage. Instead, they're just playing their part. And so we go to the angel seeking the essence of Christmas, and the angels point us elsewhere. So what about the shepherds? After all, the angels appear to the shepherds. Maybe the shepherds are where the heart of Christmas truly lies. Shepherds are pretty Christmassy, aren't they? We've even sung their carol tonight, while shepherds watched their flocks by night, all seated on the ground. And you know, a school nativity play would never be complete. It just wouldn't feel right unless there was a child with a cuddly toy sheep under their arm and a tea towel wrapped around their head. It wouldn't look right without them, would it? But what part do the shepherds play in the story? Are they at the heart of Christmas? Well, again, in Luke 2, we read about the shepherds. When the angels went away from the shepherds into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. So having been given this shock in the middle of the night by some surprise visitors, having heard this message that's been delivered by the angels, the shepherds sit back, they relax, they put their hands behind their heads, and they carry on with their night's work. Is that right? No, of course not. Having been told by the angels that a Saviour has been born, they run, they rush, they go down to Bethlehem to see if it's true. They hurry on down to find this Saviour and to see it for themselves. That's why the shepherds are in the story. That's our question again, isn't it? Why? Why are they there? They are there to check the angelic message is true. They are there simply to verify what the angels have told them. The shepherds do not take center stage. Instead, they're just playing their part. And so we go to the shepherds in search of the essence of Christmas, and the shepherds also point us elsewhere. So what about the wise men? Wise men coming from the east, bearing gifts. That's very Christmassy, isn't it? It's all because of these wise men coming with their gold and frankincense and myrrh that nowadays we wrap up handbags for our mums and toys for our kids and socks for our dads. It's all about presents, isn't it? But is that true? Is that really why the wise men are in the story, just so we can splash the cash on each other? Well, why are the wise men actually in the story? Are they at the heart of the Christmas story? Well, we read this in Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born the King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. So these wise men, back in their own country, they've been reading their sacred texts. They've been looking in the stars for signs. And in their search for the new king, they have come from a far off land and they have ended up in Jerusalem. But why? Why have they travelled all of that way? What purpose are they seeking to fulfill? We have come to worship him. We have come to bow down before the new king of the Jews. The wise men are worshippers. That's why they are in the story. The wise men do not take center stage. Instead, they're just playing their part. And so we go to the wise men seeking the essence of Christmas, and they point us elsewhere. The angels, the shepherds, the wise men. None of them hold the true essence of Christmas. All of them are pointing us somewhere else. And in fact, I reckon, this might be controversial, but I think these characters are all replaceable. Instead of angels, God could have delivered the message by sending a prophet. Or he could have spoken from heaven himself and delivered the message personally. Instead of shepherds, God could have spoken to the street sweepers or to the local taxman or to the village beggar. Instead of wise men coming from the east, God could have guided wise men from the west. None of these characters in the Christmas story are indispensable. But I hope you notice that they are all pointing us in the same direction. They are each directing our attention to the one person who is indispensable. The angel says, "For unto you is born this day a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." The shepherds went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby in the manger. The wise men ask, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews?" Their paths all cross at the manger in Bethlehem. They all point us in the direction of the baby who was born to Mary. In fact, every thread throughout the whole of the Bible is leading us to this point, leading us to Mary's child. That's why earlier I wanted us to read Isaiah 9. 700 years earlier, Isaiah says, "To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders." Speaking of this same child. You could go back thousands of years earlier and arrive in Genesis, where you would read about an offspring of the woman who would come and crush the head of the serpent, Satan. All roads lead to the child in the manger. Here, in a baby boy by the name of Jesus, we find the essence of Christmas. He is the original taste of Christmas. He is what makes Christmas Christmassy. All attention is on him. It's not the angels, but the one they announce. It's not the shepherds, but the one they go and see. It's not the wise men, but the one they come to worship. It's not even about Bethlehem, but the one who is born there. It's not the star, but the one that it is leading them to. It's not the stable, but the one who is taking shelter inside. It's not Mary, but the one who is in her womb. It's not even the manger, but the one who is lying in the hay. Christmas is only Christmas when Jesus Christ takes center stage. There's a famous quote which says, "If you do not have Christmas in your heart, you will never find it under a tree." Is it possible that we have all been looking for Christmas cheer in all of the wrong places? Because the Bible says that there is only one place where we can find the joy, the peace, the comfort, the love that we so desperately crave. And that is in the person of Jesus. The baby born in the manger who would grow up to become the man upon a cross. It's in him. It is in Jesus that we find that the friend who sticks closer than a brother. Only in him do we find the Prince of Peace. Only in him do we find the satisfaction of our souls. Only in him can we find the one who can wash away our sin and our guilt. He is the one who is willing to lay down his life so that we might live. So then tonight, how will you respond? How will you react to all that you have heard? The angels come and they announce the Saviour has been born. You have heard that a Saviour is born. Are you going to ignore them? Turn your back on what you've heard and carry on looking for the meaning of Christmas, and in fact the meaning for your whole life in other things? Or like the shepherds, will you hurry on down to Bethlehem to find out if it's true? And like the wise men, will you come to the Saviour to worship and adore? Let's pray together. Dear Lord our God, we do thank you for this time of year. We thank you for the celebrations and the festivities and all of the things that we can enjoy. But Lord, we recognize that it's so easy to get lost and to get confused and to miss the point, even as we come to the Christmas story. Lord, we can get caught up with other things. But Lord, we pray that as we've thought about this tonight and this year, we pray that you'd help us to see Jesus. That we would see the Saviour who has been born. That we would understand that he is the original taste of Christmas. That he is the true essence of Christmas. So Lord, help us to take these things in. And we pray that like the shepherds, we would investigate it. And like the wise men, that we would worship. Help us in these things, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.